Welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I have with me Joy Levin. And Joy is the founder and president of Gen X Exec Encore. In working with Gen X high achieving professionals, she recognizes that for many, this next phase isn't about traditional retirement, especially now. It's about creating an encore that blends passion, purpose, and new opportunities. As a market research consultant and entrepreneur for nearly 3 decades, Joy has guided executives and business owners across industries in making strategic, well-informed decisions. Like many Gen Xers, she wants a future in which she can remain productive, explore meaningful pursuits, and build new connections. I'm right there with you on that, girl. With an honest, warm, friendly, and highly professional approach, she guides accomplished professionals to discover their next purpose-driven chapter, empowering them to create an encore life with confidence and clarity. So, welcome, Joy. Thank you for
Thank you
coming
so
on the
much.
show.
Oh, thanks so
Oh,
much, Julie. I'm so happy to be here.
well, we're so happy to have you. What I will tell you is that Joy and I folks have a lot in common because we're both coaches and we both coach individuals looking at making a change in their lives. And so we have a lot of wisdom to share on this episode. The first thing that I wanted to talk to you about, Joy, is if you could describe your career journey, just, in a few words, where did you start? When did you have a realization that you wanted to do what you're doing now? And what was that catalyst and how did you get there? All that in
Sure.
one, 2-minute
Right,
segment.
exactly. Yeah. 40 years or however many years in total.
Exactly.
All right. So I have been, like you had mentioned earlier, a market research consultant for many, many years. I still do it. I love that part of what I do, that role. And so over all these years, the more I would get to know my clients, we would have business discussions, obviously, about how to reach marketing goals and how to use data to inform these strategic decisions. And so as we would talk, over the years we became more friendly and we would start to talk about it from a personal perspective. And they were starting to think about their next chapter. And I saw a lot of different things. I would see people who would say, I really want to do this, but I don't know how to get from A to B. Or they would say, I have no idea what I'm going to do. A lot of business leaders or business owners would say, I can't give it up. I can't, they don't want to give it up because they don't know what's next or what to do. So that was a lot of my catalyst for doing this is I, definitely empathized with a lot of what they said for a number of reasons. I'm a Gen Xer. And so we have, this generation, I think every generation is unique. In this generation, in Gen X, we have potentially like 40 more years after you leave your full-time career. And to think of that is a huge amount of time. And so it's really knowing how to create that life of fulfillment and satisfaction post-career when your career has been so much of your identity, right? A lot of people lose that identity and they don't know who they are anymore. They don't know how to build a new social network. So a lot of things can be very scary. And some people will even say, yeah, I'm going to retire, I'm going to stop. And then they quote unquote fail at retirement. They think, you know what, this isn't what I thought it would be. And they go back to work and they're still not happy. So
Right.
it's a matter of creating something that you're really happy with and satisfied and fulfillment to do. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's funny too how a lot of the ladies that I work with actually their first thought is I want to spend more time with my family. I want to, engage with my grandchildren and be part of their lives. That is it's different when it's your kid versus your grandkid. So early in your career, you were overwhelmed. You were all up in your kids' business, and it was a full-time job plus doing a full-time job. But at the end, it's a more leisurely pace, I would say, for a lot of people. And what they find is that they're not filled up, right?
Exactly.
It's like, okay, there's only so many hours of the day that I want to or need to spend with my grandchildren or my family or whatever. What else
Right.
am I going to do?
Exactly. Yes, I definitely see that, as well as, what a lot of people find is they want to do that, but then their grandchildren have their own lives. Their kids have their own lives. And so they realize, okay, this isn't enough. There's all this time I have, and what about me? What about, what lights me up aside from being with my family are things that they may not have done ever or for many years.
So, what are some of the frequent questions that you get from your clients when they come, when they engage with you? What are some of the things they start out with asking, asking you for help with?
Yeah, a lot of it is, like some of the stuff we've been talking about. It's more n not so much questions, it's more situations. So it's I all of a sudden have a lot of time and I want to do something that really fulfills me. I just don't know what it is. Or it's things like, I really want to either take up an instrument or learn a new language or whatever, or start a new venture, which is so exciting, or do some passion project, something mission driven. They don't know where to start, how to get from A to B. They don't know what resources are out there, or they just don't quite know how to put it together. And what I like to say is, it's really about building a portfolio life, right? Like in retirement, we have these financial portfolios, but a lot of people also need these life portfolios where they're doing a lot of different things and they struggle with, how do I create this, in a way that's about me and what I want to do and how I want to leave a legacy as well. So those are some of the things. Sometimes it is questions like, how can I create a legacy? How can I create a new social network? Because all of a sudden, the people I used to work with are either still working or have moved. So a lot of different dynamics there as well.
What are some of the interesting things that your clients have come away with, and so maybe some surprising outcomes? What have they come up with that's really kind of fun and crazy?
Yeah, it could be things like, I was a, an executive at a bank, and now I want to be a wine consultant. Or, just things that are such a departure. And, I empathize a lot with that because I'm this naturally curious person. So I always wonder, what is it like to be a lawyer? What is it like to, whatever it is? And so that's a lot of it is coming away with something that either they've never done but have always had that interest in, or things they used to do. It could be somebody who, was, an elite violinist or something and had to leave that behind, and they want to pick it up again, but they're so intimidating and their skills are rusty, or they don't know how, why would I do that now? So it's those things where, you might have this idea. Or it could be something like, I have this passion for either, animals or something else, but I don't know how to leverage that into something that I want to do. And, some people think, oh, I'll volunteer here. And then what happens is they want to volunteer and they get kind of stuck in a situation where they're not doing exactly what they want to do. And they've committed, and so it's hard. They feel attached to it, but it's not quite what they want to do. So we kind of reconfigure things so it's more on their terms, which is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Have any of them come to you and said, obviously, if they're married or if they have a partner, or if they have a married partner, they have another person that is part of their after career life. And how have you had anyone come back and say, my vision of what my future needs to be and what I want to do doesn't match their vision?
That happens a lot. It happens a lot, and it's very important to have open conversations about that, because some people either don't know or they don't understand the reasons why. Like, okay, we've always talked about traveling. I want to do that traveling. And the other person's like, ugh, I'm so tired. I just don't want to do that. I just want to hang out here. So it's really
Oh,
important.
that's a big one.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so
Especially for
big.
execs that travel all the time.
Yes.
Like, I used to
Yes.
be a
They're like, they're
consultant.
done.
Yeah, I
Exactly.
don't care if I ever
Right.
see another hotel room.
Yeah, well, as where others are like, I've waited all these years, you know. So it's having those open conversations and being able to. Another big one I find is where they've had these relationships as a couple, but a lot of times, especially men, have not had the ability or opportunity to develop their own kind of people. And so it's really important. I mean, one of the biggest drivers of dissatisfaction, depression in retirement, all that stuff is a lack of social connection. And so it's really important for them, I think, to have people they see together, but also things they do apart with people they enjoy that have common interests. And so a lot of it is figuring out, okay, let's have our together time and then let's have, my me time and I'm going to be doing this. And I find that the spouse is really relieved because they often will feel guilty. I don't want to go out because I'm leaving him behind, or I don't want to go on that trip because she's going to be sitting home. And so it really is important to have those separate things because then you bring back so much more into the relationship as well.
So, what kinds of legacies? Just give me some examples of legacies or pieces of legacies that people want to leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's things. So there's at one of the most core levels, it's family, right? It's wanting to pass on certain traditions. It could be that, you have a language in your heritage that you haven't been able to use. And so a lot of people want to get that back and then pass that on as a legacy, of maintaining and perpetuating their heritage. So that's one kind of legacy. And then also at the core for family, it's just certain values that you want to pass on. And it's figuring out ways to do that creatively and pass that on. And then it's things within a larger community, where a lot of people, I think when they think about legacy, they think it in terms of finances, like I'm going to leave this inheritance here, or this theater, or whatever. But a lot of times it's putting something into action. It's living out perhaps something who was very dear to you, who's no longer here, that you can create that, that meaning for yourself by living out what was meaningful to them and you. So it's really a powerful way of connecting generations as well.
That's beautiful. I just love that. The
Yeah.
generational piece of what you do is phenomenal, because it does matter so much. When I think of a legacy, what I think of is, what do I want people to say or remember about me when I die, after I'm gone? What is it? And for a lot of people, they poured so much into, let's say, a corporate career or being an accountant or whatever the case may be. That's pretty much it, all anybody has to talk about at their funeral. And I don't want that to happen in my case. I want them to be able to say, she was so much fun. She danced at every wedding. She was my crazy aunt. She bucked the rules. She was a rebel. That because she was successful, and what she tried to accomplish in her life. That's what I want people to say about me. And then, of course, my family telling stories about the times that, we were together, that as well. But I never think, I want somebody to remember me as a great change management consultant. A great coach, yeah, because that's, I think a little bit more deep and a little bit more intrinsic in value. But it's never the top of the list,
And for a lot of people, it's how do I make the world a better place?
Absolutely.
And so there's a lot of ways to do that. Sometimes people set up their own nonprofits. Sometimes they will get on the board of a nonprofit to steer it in a direction or whatever it is. So there's a lot of ways to do it. It's just a matter of identifying what that is and then having a plan to put it into action. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to switch gears just a little bit. As opposed to talking about your business, tell me about you. So when you began your career and when you decided to become a coach and have your own business, what is the one thing, the red thread, as Marcus Buckingham says, that has been with you your whole time? Is it a value? Is it a you love working with certain types of people? What is it that bridges that span throughout your career and your life?
Yep. And it's really about making people or helping people or empowering people to see how they can make certain decisions and not be held back. So from a business perspective, I spent a lot of years, we would use data and then look at, okay, how can we put this marketing plan into place that's going to resonate with our consumers? And so it's taking that data and putting it into motion to solve problems. So that carries over to this, where we're saying not so much the data we're used to, but the data of your life and the data of, your experiences and your values. It's very important to get to those values because that's a lot of when people end up doing something very unfulfilling. So it's taking all that data together and then solving it from a personal perspective of how can I now make strategic decisions that are going to be beneficial and, have that positive impact. So that whole thread of data really has taken me through, these different roles in my career. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And helping people be okay pushing themselves out of their own boxes.
Definitely.
Not
Yes.
holding back and not being held back. I
Right.
love that as a thread. That's
Right.
beautiful.
Yeah, and being creative about it, really trying to look at things from different perspectives and, trying things. And I like to say, even the small experiments can be so meaningful. If you and I take that from my marketing research career as well, as saying, okay, let's experiment, do an A/B test or whatever. And now they apply it to this where they say, I'm going to try three music lessons or whatever it is to give something a try because there's no reason to commit. If you're not sure, but it's making those trials and those experiments that's ultimately going to show you some positive movement and some fulfillment.
Helping people be free to explore. I like
Yeah.
that. I
Yeah.
like that a lot. And so when you decided to be a coach, was that a huge decision or was it an easy decision and why?
I think it was both. It was a huge decision because it meant starting something new. And I have started new things. And that's part of why I did it is I thought about my own journey and how I started from, student to employee to having my own business, my own consulting firm for all these years. And thinking about how each of those transitions had some fear involved, certainly some uncertainty. But you don't know unless you try. Right. And so I may not have had the ideal first job first, or I've done many things in my market research career that ultimately didn't pan out, but it's looking at every opportunity as an opportunity, right? So it's saying, you know what, this is a chance to do something, it may not work, but I'm never going to know until I try. And then until you do that, you end up living a life of regret. And we don't want that. We don't want to turn around, and realize we don't have a lot of time left. We wish we had done this. I mean, there's a lot of things I can say I wish I had done earlier, for sure. But it's saying, okay, I now have a new opportunity to do these things, and I'm going to try them. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing about it is that when you try and you fail, you learn.
Definitely.
And that's where wisdom comes from.
That's right. And I think it's a matter of being a lifelong learner. I mean,
Absolutely.
there's never a reason to stop learning. It makes you more interesting. It is exciting. It's like every day you can say, what one thing am I going to learn today? Yeah.
I have learned in the 5 years I've had my business now, I cannot even tell you that I think I've learned more in these 5 years than I have my whole the rest of whole of my life, because I had to learn things that I was not at all comfortable with. I don't have a business degree, had no idea how to run a business. Heck, I didn't even know the difference between an LLC and a sole proprietor and blah, 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 and all that stuff. But all I knew is I wanted to make my own decisions. And I was done getting laid off and shuffled around and all of that stuff and working for somebody else for them, for them to enrich their lives. And my life wasn't being as enriched as it could if I was focusing on my own work. So I wanted to put that into practice. So tell me one thing that one piece of advice that you would give younger people coming into the workforce, either a Gen Z or a millennial, a late millennial.
I think when I think about what you were just saying, because it will tie in. When we in our beginning career or in our middle career, where we get jobs because of the skills we have, we've demonstrated either return on investment or we've managed a budget or we've led a team. And it's all you get the next job based on what you've done. In this situation, in your encore, your retirement, or whatever, it's not about what you've done, it's about what you've yet to do. And so there's a lot of risk with that, but there's a lot of excitement with that. And so the one thing I would tell younger people is to kind of, if they can, look beyond, why they might be qualified for a job and really focus more on what they can get out of it, how they can grow. I think a lot of people take a job because, it's something that's familiar, like you said, but there's stuff you're never going to know until you try. And it's, like I said earlier, it's looking at every opportunity as an opportunity. It's, it might not work. It might not work out the way you thought it would, but you don't know, and you will often be surprised at the direction it will take you in.
1,000,000%. I think, like I said, I've learned more than I ever thought I would in trying this out. So I have three questions that I ask at the end of every episode. Do you have anything to share that you haven't said or that you want to make sure gets on here before I delve into my last three?
One of the I have this kind of unique approach or this unique framework I've built around my coaching practice because it is geared really toward Gen X. And so I use this image or analogy of mixtapes, right? We all made those growing up. We loved those, right? They're so iconic, right? And so I've used that as kind of a framework where I look at like the five R's. So the first one is, to rewind, is to look back and figure out, okay, what was on my mixtape? What did I used to do that I really got a lot out of that I haven't done in a long time? So that's one of them. And then we remix. So we say, okay, here's where I've been, here's where I want to go. How do I mix them together to create what I said earlier about that portfolio kind of life? And then we reset, thinking about, okay, so now how are we going to move forward? And then reconnecting that social circle, really, really important. I cannot emphasize that enough to have a very, exciting social life with people that you enjoy being with. So that's the reconnect and then reviving, really having that plan to go forward, taking all of this together to really look at it kind of like I tell clients, and we work with this as like a rebirth, right? It's saying, it's like if you could look at your life as, now as a birth announcement, what would you say? Like, what would you say you've done and where do you want to go? So that's one of the things that I really enjoy, and I find resonates with Gen Xers.
Oh, that's a beautiful model. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And if you want to learn more about the model and her coaching approach, we will definitely have the links in the show notes. So make sure you take a look at that. Okay, so here's my third to the last question. Close your eyes. And describe what appears in your mind when I say wise woman.
It's just
You
one image came to me instantly, was a
can.
castle.
Okay.
It was a castle. It was,
Okay.
yeah, it was knowing how to build that castle so that you feel, like you reign your universe. You're empowered. You have defenses built in that serve you. And one of the big things I think is that a lot of times what served us in our professional lives don't really serve us in our encore lives. And so
Yeah.
it means, kind of figuring out what those defenses are and figuring out, this is still working. No, I think I need to build some new defenses. So yeah, and having those bridges all around, covering, all that kind of stuff, that's what image came to my mind.
Oh, that's a beautiful image. I love that. Okay. So the second to the last question is, where do you like to roam, Joy?
I kind of interpret that in a couple of different ways.
Okay.
One is, I think when I think of roaming, it's where you are in your zone, where you lose track of time. You're doing something and you think it's been 5 minutes and you turn around and it's been 2 hours. And so there are a number of things for me that bring that to life. I love animals, so it's spending time with my pets and other animals. It could be going on a really nice hike. It could be traveling. I'm one of those people that didn't travel ton and look forward to doing more. And sometimes it's, and this is one of the reasons why I think I started with the coaching, at an age where I could say, you know what, I'm done, but I wanted to do this and I love being productive. I love working. It's like my zone. It's like all these
Yeah.
things are my happy places. So to me, that's what I think of when I think of roaming.
Oh, that's beautiful. Making a portfolio of happy places
Exactly.
to roam
Yes.
through.
Yes.
I love it. Okay. The last question is, what makes you restless in a good way?
I have always been such a planner. They said there are planners and doers. I'm definitely, I do, but I love to plan. So what I find makes me restless in a good way is two things. One is the planning itself. I want to get going and I want to have those plans. And then on the flip side, it's saying, okay, done enough planning. Now it's time to do. So it's knowing when to make that kind of leap or that transition and say, okay, I've done the plans, I've laid it all out. It's time to take a dive, get in there and do it and see what happens because you never know where it will lead.
I think that I would agree with you there, and I agree with your restlessness in that regard. I also like to plan, and sometimes I get so wrapped up in the planning, I miss the deadline to
Exactly. Yeah.
do. Okay. Well, we're apparently risk averse. That way, we can say that, right?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, Joy, it has been a great pleasure to be with you today. I really, really appreciate your wisdom. And I know, folks, you will appreciate her wisdom as well. So make sure you take a look at the show notes, get in touch with Joy, and hear all about her company and her coaching practice. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Julie. It was so fun to be here.
Thank you.